か。Hello, everybody out there on the internet. Welcome to Endless Fantasy, episode 421. I'm Chris Adams, Taken Master, joined by
RPG Maniac 05
and Trioptical.
So, yeah, we've got some what you've been playing, no middle segment because we're starting later, whatever, and the news. We do have the abridged RR though, so look forward to that.
Well, what are you doing?
That was my nice, calm jazz radio voice. All sensual and seducing.
That was so catchy.
Sorry, listeners. You were the one that ruined our freaking good job.
We did not practice this, so I was a little caught off guard. I'm sorry.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, new intro and stuff. We didn't practice it like everybody said. We're just like doing it. But yeah, that's look forward to that every week. So I've been playing
besides
the daily Gratis with Sport free car stuff and the Monster Hunter thingy. Oh, which by the way, I haven't got the armor yet. I just need like two more tickets. They need two more for the layered armor, so it's just like, ugh, that fight is kind of, it's not the fight, it's just like when Lunestra does like the fire attack, and it just like melts you, and you're just like, man, that is, it's a bit scary, because your health bar just goes like red, and just like, if you get knocked over, and you get back up, you're like, carted instantly, and it's just like, yeah, it's not a fun time, it's a bit stress-inducing and anxiety-inducing, I'm just like, you know what, I don't want to do that all day, so I'll knock it out when I have time, man. And I just, yeah. And then, yeah, I'll do it. I'll get it eventually. And apparently the spring or whatever festival is coming back again. So that's cool. If you missed any of the events, they'll be back again. And I can farm some giant great jagresses, and that'll be great. And all the other stuff I haven't done yet. And then I think once I have all the gamma armor and stuff, I'll be good to just take a break and be like, you know what? I'm good until Iceborne, yes. I don't know. We'll see. Take it easy, man. Take it easy. Just like Destiny. It's like I just went cold turkey. And it's like I stopped hating myself. It's like not that I ever hated anything about Monster Hunter. It's just like, you know, I've done all there is to do. So no reason to like, you know, it's like walk away before the hatred creeps in. And you're just like, why am I playing this game? What am I doing? Just, you know, turn into a gremlin that's got like water poured on them after midnight and ate meat and stuff. Just, you know, for that.
Spoiler alert.
How's it a spoiler?
I'm just kidding. We've been for like decades.
Anyway, Red Dead Redemption. Okay, so I'm not finished yet. I'm on chapter 6. I gotta say, though, like I said last time, or the time before that, or whenever I said it, just like the whole repetitious nature of like the main story beats is like kind of getting to me. I'm just ready for the game to be over because it's just like they just keep repeating the same pattern of like you go to an area and you're on the run and it's like everybody lay low and then you know people do stupid things and it's like oh man, what'd you do that for? Now the law's on us and then we gotta run again and just constantly fleeing. It's whatever. It's just like that's like the only main gripe for the game, really, for me. Because gameplay wise, it's fun. All the mechanics, and like all the RPG elements that they've even more honed in on this one to make everything better. But then it's weird playing it now since I'm just trying to get through the story. I haven't really like gone and like done any of that stuff like I would do like when I played the first one to like do all the challenges for like the hunting and the they added like even more. It's like weird. There's like gambling ones. There's hunting ones, there's the bounty ones, there's even the outlaw ones, which is kind of cool. So it's like, I'm learning just interesting that they would like, you know, put that in there to, you know, have stuff if you're going to be on the dark side. It's like, oh, how bad can you be? Ooh. Also kind of cool because I found out last time that the train job can be initiated anytime. It's like, as long as there's chain, it's like, oh, you have the option to just up and start stealing from it and like robbing it. It's like, oh, that's pretty cool. You don't have to worry about like it being a mission in the game. You can just do it anytime. It's great. Also, the missions, it's like it's kind of cool. It's very like reminiscent of GTA 5, the heists, but not as involved, I would say. Like, you have a bunch of air quote jobs where it's like you rob a bank, or you rob a stagecoach, or you rob a train car, or like I said last time, the homesteads. But it's it's all like it's like it's all stealing. So it's just like, after you've done enough of them, it's just like, oh, here's another one, doing another one. So it's just like, oh, another one of these, another hit on the bank, whatever. So they are nice set pieces though, so that's always fun when like the actual quests and missions around them like happen. It's like, oh, this is going down, this is happening. You know, once you do one, you kind of done them all. So they kind of do lose their luster. It's just like they get more grand and grandiose towards the end. So it's like you start off with like smaller ones, but you end up with like really crazy ones. But kind of like just nothing too much different that you're doing from like one to the other. But it is, yeah, it is what it is. So not quite on the scale of heist where it's like, all right, we got to steal this vehicle and then come up with a plan and get away cars and like steal all these pieces of the puzzle and then like do all these things, like get them properly customized to get away for like, you know, the getaway section. And like this one is like way less involved in that. It's just more, okay, here's the thing we're doing, here's the plan, and you go and boom splat. You don't even have to like do any prep work. So it's like, we're robbing a bank, guys. Let's rob the bank. And here's the mission where we rob the bank. So I also kind of look forward to playing them again in the thingy, because I think that's back as well when you like go and replay missions without having to replay the game. So that's nice. And then before I said something about like when you have your camp or your base or whatever, like NPCs will come up to you, and like at first I thought it was like annoying because they didn't really like it tells you if you go up and talk to them, they'll give you like these quests or missions or whatever. It wasn't really displayed or like notified of like when it will happen, but later on in the game, it'll like show up on the radar, or sometimes they'll just come up to you and be like, hey, Arthur, I got this thing, or hey, Arthur, I need this thing, or hey, Arthur, here's some intel, or whatever. So at first, it like wasn't happening like that, and I was like, dude, I'm not going to take the time in between each mission to like talk to every flipping NPC. They need to get like some Kelly Chambers character from Mass Effect 2 to like just tell me what's going on and who I need to talk to, because this is, oh, there's a lot of people at the camp to like just hang out and be like, oh hey, and then like they just respond with like a default, oh hey, and it's like, dude, this is a waste of my time. This is, there's like so many, and it's just like, ah, that's kind of cool too. It's like just like the whole gang aspect. It's like there's so many of you, and just you're like the way that this one is like just more the morality of your characters, where you're just always in the wrong. And it's just an interesting take, I guess, from like that perspective, since I always play the good person, good side. So I mean, still do it in this one too, but it's just like, this group of people, they have done things and they are bad. So it's just like weird to like, and it's like in the contrast, it's kind of neat to see like why, because in like some ways you are kind of like building up the group that you're taking down in the first game. So it's kind of like see like how that happened and like how that came to be, of like you're just like path of destruction and chaos and like just crime that you've just caused this entire game of like why John Marston was like sent in to be like, okay, someone's got to put a stop to this, because these people have like done so many communities wrong, and like we've robbed so many banks, guys. It's just ridiculous, like the amount of, like I said, there's like six chapters, and every chapter is just like, oh, let's hide out here and then cause chaos in the nearby town for the citizens, and then the law's on us, and then we kill a bunch of lawmen, and then we rob a bank. It's just like, these people are terrible. I think that's another thing. It's like playing this, I just can't relate, because they're so like so bad, some of them, and just like, this is weird, man. It's just like you're just like in the bad side, darkness place the whole time. Well, not the whole time, but like that's we're like where the cast of characters is coming from, and it's like weird because like the main, not like the main protagonist, but like the main like leader of the group is always trying to be like, oh well, I'm so high and mighty and I'm leading you all to this, like I talked about last week, of like, you know, beyond the laws, beyond the shackles of capitalism, blah blah blah, freedom, the frontier, blah blah blah. But it's like, something happens like towards what chapter, man, I don't know, whatever. It's like after chapter 3, like stuff goes down. And then, I mean, it's kind of hinted at in the first game, but then it's like, you can see in this one, like where it starts happening, where he's kind of like just kind of boils over mentally and just like kind of loses it. And so nobody else is like really stepping up to stop him. So it just gets worse and worse and worse. And it's like, ooh, this is that's kind of interesting. It's like, you know, you have someone who thinks they're in the wrong, but clearly they're not. And it's like, for a bit of the game, it's like, you know, they're not like that. So it's like, you can kind of empathize with them of like, okay, well, they're not that bad. But then after they kind of fly off the handle and nobody's like rating them in, it's just like, ooh, this is like getting very explosive. Someone should do something. I need an adult. And then like nobody's doing anything. And it's just like, oh, that's weird. There was like a really weird pacing moment too, like chapter 5. I'm not gonna say what happens, but basically it's like I've been saying, like you've just been doing the thing of like rob the place, run from the law, blah blah blah. And something happens, and then you end up it just felt like a really weird, like something happens and you end up in like a completely different environment. And like the way that they just like put it in the game, it just seems like the pacing was like very weird to me. It was just like how they just like threw that in there. It just kind of made it off and just like not feel very natural. So still hoping that, because right now just I feel like it's just like plateaued as far as like story wise. It's just like doing the same thing over and over. And like hopefully there's still more there and like bear, like more stuff will happen and like it'll be awesome. So I'm hoping that will happen before the end, because right now I'm just like, I don't see how this game gets so many. I mean, I'm one of those people that's like, I wouldn't, you know, put a number on it, but 9 and 10, really? It's good, but not. I mean, I guess I just say, you know, I guess I still just prefer GTA 5 because it did all the things amazing. I mean, that's like kind of like a, you know, apples and oranges though, because you're stuck in the oldie times and you have like no sweet technology. So I guess that's also just a personal preference thing too. So, oh, also I had like a bunch of weird, but a couple of weird times where like some games would like do this if like the controls are just like the interface is like, you know, a certain way. If you're like in certain environments and you have to interact a certain way and then you end up messing up and then NPCs react to you like weirdly, like Deus Ex or Vampire the Masquerade, like you can only, like if you're in like a masquerade area, you can't pull out weapons. But then when you're out and about not masquerade areas, you can like do that in like combat zones and stuff. So it's like you kind of like get used to like being in a certain part of the game, like not pushing certain buttons, but then sometimes you're like pull out a gun out, like in the middle of nowhere, like in Deus Ex, you're like, oops, I didn't mean to do that, and then like you have consequences. So in this one, like you have to use the aim button to like lock onto an NPC to like, you know, talk to them or greet them or something. And so a couple of times I've had like a gun out and then like I've been like aiming at them, and then like, but then it's like someone I was like helping, like in like one of those you're just in the open world going along your way, and like you see someone to help them. And then they're like, oh, help me. And then, like, you help them. And then you usually have to, like, talk to them afterwards to be like, oh, are you okay? Or, like, you know, where's my reward or something? Or not where's my reward, but, like, you know, I've helped you. And then they'll be like, oh, here's this thing or here's some money, blah, blah. So then sometimes I'll save someone and just, like, run up to them, get off my horse and be, like, right next to them and be, like, pull a gun on them. Like, oh, no, I didn't mean to do that. And just, oops. And then my
computer, sir, I thought you were on my side.
Does it go up like it should? And I'm just like, dang it, I did it again. I mean, at least I never, like, accidentally killed any of them, so that's cool, because I would be, like, traumatized from that. Like, oh, no, I killed the NPC I just saved. So many, like, weird times that's happened. I'm just like, man, that's weird. And then I did figure out the whole fast travel thing. It is weird. It is very weird, because you can, so here's how it works. Like, you can't just, like, beam yourself anywhere at all from, like, wherever on the map. You have to go to the train station, and then from the train station you could take a train to like any of the towns. And then I think you can actually fast travel from your HQ, yeah, like your base of operations on the map, but you can't go anywhere. Like, it has to be certain places, only certain places you can fast travel to. And then from the towns you use the carriage or the train to travel, and you have to buy a ticket on the train, and I think you probably do on the carriage too, but I never use the carriage because it was like past that point in the game where like you had to use it. So I was like, whatever, I'm not using that. I'm using the train because it's a sweet train. It's rare technology, I guess, in my brain. I'm just like, I'm not going to use that dirty old ancient horse carriage. So I didn't. But I imagine it's the same. You just like pay a fee. So that's how that works. It's kind of weird because I'm like, oh, I can't just beat myself to this place in the world. I have to be at my base to beat myself. But then if I'm in a city, I can go to the train station to go to like a specific town. But like all the places in between, you can't go to, just the city. So it's kind of weird, but it works. I mean, or it's just, it's there, but it's not as, I guess it's not as more confined version of it as it is in other games. You can just like pull up the map and be like, oh, where's the last tower that I liberated or last building I jumped off the hay thingy into from Assassin's Creed or something, and just be like, doo-doo-doo-doo. But yeah. And I did like a new version of the Deadeye too. So that was neat, where I can just like have it on and just keep shooting while it's on, and like it's just in slow motion until it goes off. So that's kind of cool. I'm not sure if that was ever in the previous game. So I actually kind of want to play that one after I play this one, just to like see how it leads in. Because I was like secretly hoping that this would be like Rogue One, which is like a really good setup for the next one. But then it's getting so weird towards the end of just like, I don't know, man. It can go either way here. Of like they're, I imagine they will stick to the lighting since it got like really good reviews, but I just feel like it keeps going on and on with like the whole thing of just like, you know, oh, we're on the road. Oh, I'm kind of over, man. I was like, at some point today I was playing and I was like, I'm ready for this game to be over. And then chapter 5 happened. It's like when stuff gets weird, you go somewhere else and it's like, I don't know why they put this in the game. Of like, this doesn't need to be in here. So that was just weird, man. It's just like the pacing got really weird in that point for me. I was just like, why are we here? What? Wait, what? I was just like, did they just feel like they wanted to make, or they made like all these environments and assets and like they had to put them in the game and like not just scrap them or something? But I mean, they made it work, but it's just like, in my opinion, it just kind of really messes up the pacing and just it turns into like super happy fun video game land, because it's just like all of a sudden you're somewhere it doesn't seem like you should be, and then it's only like a couple missions too, so it's like, that was a really weird interlude in this game when you're in the Wild West. And then you're not, but then you're back, and it's just like, okay, whatever. So, yeah. Oh, also RPG. There's stealth in this game, so you know.
No.
some situations where it's like stealth optional or not stealth. Oh no, there are some parts where don't get caught. So it's like there's you know that where it's like you just have to crouch around, and like it's not too hard, but it's like it's in there. So you know, anybody that's like stealth allergic, like RPG. Be warned, there's some stealth in this game. But there's also like some nice stealth kill animations that they have when you have the knife out. So that was very rewarding to me. I was just like, oh yeah, yes, stab him up, Arthur. Oh yeah, it was really nice. yeah, that is Red Dead Redemption 2, because I'm not done yet. So hopefully by next week I'll be done and I can be like, yeah, I finished it. Finally, after months of like not having played it, so, but that's all I've been playing. So yeah,
man.
Also, still growing out my character's sweet Jesus beard, so it's like at 8 out of 10 on the length on the screen when I go to it. I'm like, oh, 8 out of 10. Two more to get the full Jesus beard. So we'll see if I get there by then.
Well, my intention was to play a bunch of stuff this week, but it's only Tuesday, so it may happen yet. Except that it turned out that it was spring break for schools here, so I'm not really free to do stuff. The Dreams Early Access, like Creators Early Access thing came out today. I nabbed that in the morning, tried it out a little.
Do you have to buy that, or do you have to be invited to it?
You have to buy it. So it's $29.99. It's supposed to be the entire suite of creation tools, but none of the story or single player stuff. And then they're gonna add to it as they get closer to release, and probably based on what people end up doing with it during this time. But yeah, so the one thing that I noticed so far is that I don't think there was Move controller support in the beta. And so now this version, it does have Move control support. And I tried it and it was really hard. I just could not figure out the they call it the grab camera. So essentially you use the move controller and it operates in 3D space. So not only can you rotate it and stuff, you can also move it closer to the TV or further away from the TV. But you grab a point in 3D space in the screen, and then from there, like, every motion of the controller moves the camera in some way, depending on how you've grabbed it, where you've grabbed it, rotates the camera differently. And I could not get it to work. It was just, like, very difficult.
Oh, no.
I've heard, if I recall correctly, they did say it takes some getting used to, but then once you've gotten used to it, you can do sort of modeling and all these things much faster. And I believe the modeling part can be a lot faster. But right now, like, I'm just stuck at that first step, how to navigate around in this 3D space. And I was like, oh, it is really hard, much harder so far than just using the controller. But yeah, I've only played, we played one tutorial part, just like teaching you how to move around. I was like, oh, after that, my daughter was like, no, now I just want to make my own. Just like, these are, the tutorial's too hard. I just want to make my own. And I was like, fine. And I opened her like an empty space, and she's like, how, I want to make a Pikachu. How do I draw? And I was like, I don't know. You said skip the lessons, so now we don't know anything.
That's great. So,
it's like, skip everything. I want to start making stuff. It's like, but we haven't even learned how to move yet. Oh, fine.
So, yeah, it was our progress stopped there.
Pikachu, no.
Like, we haven't even figured out how to move the camera yet. Want me to already start sculpting Pikachu? Damn, you're jumping the gun there. Jumping the gun.
Yeah, this past 2 days, just today, she spent like the entire morning in another world. She just played Job Simulator all day. And then she, the second half of the morning, she played, I think it's called Cool Sculpt or like Cool Paint or something like that. And it's like a 3D VR painting thing. It's not really a game.
Did she paint a Pikachu?
She did. She's really good at that one. Like, navigating that one seemed way easier. But I guess it's more limited. Because so the difference is in Cool Paint VR, I hope that's what it is, you grab a point in 3D space, and then like essentially you pick up the entire world, and you can zoom in on it or like zoom out of it to change its size, but you're like holding the world essentially, and then you just move it freely with your hand. Whereas in Dreams, you are imagine like Spider-Man ziplining to places. Like you're trying to grab a point in space and then pull yourself over there. And it just, yeah, I think it's partially because it's probably not too sensitive, but every direction that you rotate the move controller rotates the world as well. And so sometimes, like, if you're trying to pull yourself somewhere, your hand, because you can't pull it straight back without like bending your elbow or your wrist or whatever, it also rotates as you're trying to pull yourself places. And then so just the camera control gets really, feels really finicky. And it's like, I'm trying to focus on this one spot. I'm trying to pull myself there, but it's not really working. And yeah, it's just going to take some more time, I guess. More tutorials. Much more than the one tutorial we've done.
Obviously. Because even in the beta, though, it was kind of like, it seemed more complicated than expected. Because, I mean, I guess you can do a lot more than you could in, like, Little Big Planet or whatever. Yeah. But it's just like, I was playing the beta and I was like, oh gosh, this is so much work. I'm only in this tutorial. It's like, oh gosh, I don't think I'm going to be able to make anything when I get this. I'm just going to have to play everybody else's stuff because this is time consuming and I don't have infinite time. So,
yeah, it's there is a lot to learn. So we'll see. I now own it and I wonder if like the game is going to come out and it's going to cost more, or is it just going to be like $30, or is it only $30 right now because it's just creator stuff? But like buying this early access version, like you get the full everything later on. So is this like a pre-complete discount?
Wait, so you automatically get the full game once it's out?
Yeah, you get the rest of it once it's out.
Because, I mean, if that's the case, then that's like they would either have to remove that from the store once the full game came out if they were trying to make it more expensive, or that might just be the actual price for it, which is like really cheap.
It's quite cheap. So, yeah, no, most of this week I spent at, thankfully, not my own Fire Festival.
Oh, I was excited to hear the horror story. Fail. I mean, I didn't want him to fail. I was just saying, like, it would have been hilarious, though, to, you know, hear what had to happen for him to get the show on the road and how they got trapped in a dungeon of some sort, and it would have been fun.
It was,
I mean, not for him obviously because he lived it, but still,
it was all right. It was well, so I essentially see it as like most of the convention event was in year two, so it seemed a lot fancier in a lot of ways, and then our area was like a reboot back to year one standards. And so
people are listening. They're not going to know what you're talking about. So,
I was at the Midwest Gaming Classic, which is a small regional, mostly retro video game convention. They do this giant, in the past, I described it as like the biggest garage sale you ever saw. Entirely devoted to games and like collectibles and like pinball machine parts. So it's like a big garage sale plus a giant arcade filled with retro things all the way up to some really new arcade machines. Like Raw Thrills from Chicago was there, and they brought a small version of their new Halo arcade game, which just came out a few months ago, I think. And yeah, it was there at the show floor. There was also a lot of like kind of related stuff this time. So I saw the DeLorean from Back to the Future was there. And
which DeLorean?
The second one, the one with Mr. Fusion on the back. So the flying one, I guess. But it was not flying.
It's a weird series.
There were Ghostbusters there. There was an Ecto-1 there. Yeah, it was like kind of moving away from purely entirely gaming stuff, but it was like, yeah, it was cool. Although I didn't get to see much of that stuff because I was mostly in a room that I help with. This year it was called Future Classics, generously. It was basically like a lot of local independent developers. They got to showcase their games there. And I think this year there was like 16 or 17 games. Many of them I have seen before. Though they're, you know, another year of development, so a lot of them are improved and getting, hopefully, every year it's like, oh, close to launch? It's like, yeah, close to launch. And then the next year is like, oh, you're still here. so it didn't launch? It's like, no, we had to, like, work on it more. And, man, that must be really tough. Although I think I'm trying to think if any of them are actual like full-time companies. Yeah, two of them are full-time companies, and I don't know how they do it. Like, if you keep delaying like that, it's just years and years, and you don't, you know, you only make money once you release it. But yeah. So, I actually didn't get to play much this year either. It's just mostly saw a lot of things. Very work in progress games, essentially. There's one I think I've talked about on the show once. It's called Risk System from Newt Industries. It's like a side scrolling shmup, but he described it as like opposite of a bullet hell. So like bullet hell is just like you're learning patterns.
Opposite of a bullet hell.
Well, in bullet hells, you're looking for like the little spots that are free of bullets, and it's like patterns, and you're trying to like figure out, okay, you know, this is where I have to hide and move along this path so that, you know, none of the bullets will hit me. In Risk System, if you're close to bullets, then your weapon is twice as powerful, and then it also, much more powerful. And then you also charge this, like, bomb super meter, I guess, while you're in danger. And then you can unleash it in this sort of temporary invulnerability state that, like, destroys everything else on the screen. And so, like, with that mechanic, there's, like, these neat boss fights where you have to understand that, oh, you know, you gotta use this dodge move in order to not get killed right here, and then you gotta charge up your super bomb thing. Man, there was a name for it. I if you hear this, I'm sorry, I don't remember the names.
Should have made a more memorable name, yeah, for it, like, then.
You have to like engage it at the right times, because sometimes there's like inescapable parts. So you need that sort of invulnerability to get through them. It's looking really, really good. Super faithful to like that sort of arcade 2D retro looking. Difficult to explain. But yeah. I think there's a free demo of Risk System out there on PC, so if you want to see it, you can.
But it's risky.
There's another one called Bomb Sorters, which was it's sort of like, you start with the general idea of like Tower Fall, where it's like four people fighting against each other. But instead of like actually shooting arrows or like slashing each other with swords, you don't hit each other directly. Your swords are used to hit these bombs that are floating in the air. And then, so when you hit a bomb, it becomes your color. And then anyone can hit it again before it detonates, claiming it for themselves. But then once it detonates, it leaves sort of this blast area that re-detonates every few seconds, and eventually you just have this play field that's filled with bomb explosions of different colors, and you gotta try to not hit the ones that aren't your color. It's pretty cool. The soundtrack is really good. I don't know if that one is out there for anyone to play. I've only seen it at conventions. And then there's like a guy I know here, his company, they're making a open world helicopter game called Cats Fly Helicopters. It's like kid friendly Grand Theft Auto with helicopters. you go around and there's like missions and stuff, and you can, thus far, you can do things like deliver pizzas and like fly people places as like a like crazy taxi, but it's a helicopter. And then there's like a bunch with cats. Yes, everyone has a cat.
Getting the secret sauce, tropical cheese.
I'm just about to say it's like it's kind of like a very big part of it. It's, you know, cats.
It's pretty crazy. Like it's fun because it's all physics based, so you can do really, you know how physics in games are. You can do really crazy stuff. Like one of the helicopters in the beginning has a hoist that you can attach to any object that moves in the world, essentially. So you can, you know, fly over other cats and like pick them up. Or the thing that I saw a bunch of people, they're trying to pick up cars. So they fly around and then hoist a car. And then what was really funny is because of the physics, if you, after you attach to a car, if you just ascend as quickly as you can and then just stop abruptly, the car will continue to move up and you can like launch cars super high into the air and just watch them fly. And I'm just like, oh, that's fun. There's also
think of the ramifications on their world though. The ramifications.
I guess there are no cats in those cars.
Oh, hopefully. Dear.
Yes, they're all self-driving in the cats.
They're all self-driving.
Oh gosh!
For no reason, because there is no passengers. Everyone uses helicopters. The so one helicopter.
This game is no longer kid-friendly. It just got dark, in
between,
man.
They're in between dropping off the cats at the wherever they're going to the giant cat playground.
There's also like fire that spreads.
Like,
I was watching this kid play and he landed and then a cat like ran over and got in the helicopter and I was like, oh, so that's probably a taxi mission, so you just gotta look at the marker and go fly over to where the marker is and then drop him off. And he flew over to where the marker was and it was like, it wasn't on the ground like I had usually seen. It was like on top of a building. So he flew to the top of the building and then landed on the on the roof. And the cat still wouldn't get out. It's like, what's going on? It's like, oh, I think the marker is actually on the balcony of this building. It's on like the top balcony. I'm like, I don't know if the helicopter is going to fit there. And so he just like repeatedly tried
on a balcony
to fit the helicopter on the balcony until one time he succeeded, except that I don't know what happened, suddenly like the helicopter exploded and then like the side of the building was all on fire.
I thought you said this game was for kids. What's going on?
Well, you know, no cats were harmed in the making of this fire. And we just looked at it. I was like, what are we going to do? It was really cool because we didn't really expect it. And just, yeah, seeing all the fire on the building. You can put out fires in the game also. You go to fire hydrants and you can collect water balloons from them to throw at fire. And it puts it out.
I feel like that's not how that should work.
But it does. You know what? In Cat World.
It's like, it's fine, guys. We're just going to throw some water balloons on this raging wildfire. It's cool.
It's cool. It was really funny. Because I sat a few times and like helped kids play it. They would come over and say, oh, I want to play. I was like, okay. And then, you know, explain controls briefly. And that was one of the mishaps I saw.
Oh, dear.
What was the other one? Oh, yeah. Another kid was... So you can fasten like the order of operations to fly the helicopter. You get in by pushing square. That's pretty normal. Then you hold down triangle to turn on the engine. And then... I mean, those are the only two things you have to do. Optionally, if you hold down triangle, you can also put on your seatbelt. Not everyone does it. And at home, I was like, well, I've never seen anyone like fall out of the helicopter. But I saw it this weekend.
What wonderful logic, Tropical.
And I don't know what happened that time either. It didn't seem like it hit anything. It's just like suddenly the helicopter exploded midair. And like the pilot went flying out of it.
I don't think the seatbelt's going to save you in that scenario. Also, I don't know of any other games that have a seatbelt button that, yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
I guess it's a risk-reward system. It's like, well, you put on your seatbelt, then you get trapped in an exploding helicopter, leave it off, and you fly out to safety, I guess, because helicopters.
If you can survive the fall, and since they're cats, they're going to land on their feet.
I mean, at this point, that means either you either take the fall or the exploding helicopter. You really don't have a lot of great options in this scenario.
Yeah. Anyway, it was pretty cool. And then the fourth game I remember I don't remember the name of it at all. It was like a text adventure, but with full voiceover. Oh. And it's supposed to be based off of a series of novels, like the Redwall series. Do you know that one?
Nope.
I'm not familiar with that.
I've never heard of it either. But it's, I guess, like all the main characters are like woodland creatures. And you were basically I think you were an otter. And you're looking for some scroll or something that will tell the forest like who the rightful queen is or something.
And then right now.
That premise also sounds so interesting.
Don't think otters live in
Do they not live in the forest?
I think so. I think that's how that works. I mean, it's possible. I mean, I don't talk to a lot of otters, so I mean possibility, I guess, but
in our great forest kingdom of Otterville.
I mean,
Silence your RPG.
If Otterville really exists. I mean, yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I guess we've heard weirder things like cats flying helicopters.
This game is already out, apparently, on Steam. And since I don't remember the title, that's pretty hard. But yes, I'm fairly certain it was something Redwall. So, if you want to see a modern text adventure, search that.
Woodland otters and queens, because
yes, reasons. And like there's something called, I think it was called a gloomfish, gloom something, and it was never explained exactly what
there
it was.
Are water creatures with land creatures.
Well, he's only mentioned all. Yeah, I mean, at this point,
I mean, otters in water though. So
the backstory, yeah, there is a part where you swim as the otter. But no, yeah, it's like old school text adventures where you're just like, you have to type in.
Oh, man.
You know, like, look around. Pick up this thing. Do this with this thing.
Or like, look.
You can't pick this up. Describes. You're a bloomfish. Yeah.
Look,
you have no
and
hands.
It describes. but it was fully voiced. So that was, I don't think I've ever seen a fully voiced. Although,
so it's kind of like one of those audiobooks, except you're controlling the adventure yourself.
You remember
as an otter queen or something.
Skyrim for Amazon Echo.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that, but not
you
Skyrim.
Type in things.
Yeah, and you type
but
in
less
things.
Violent.
Did I kill anything?
I mean,
no. Although, to be fair, I didn't kill anything in Skyrim either. I'm pretty sure I got beat the first time I tried to kill something. So yeah, I didn't actually get to play that much, but that's sort of a sample of what I saw and a little bit of what I played. But yeah, that's my week. This is Tuesday, so this is happening earlier than usual. And yeah, extenuating circumstances. Someday I will get to Sekiro, which I have. But then I guess this is like the 1 year anniversary of God of War. It's like, oh man, I should play that too.
It is. And wait, then, you still haven't played God of War?
I haven't.
Yes. It's now been an actual year.
I know. Like it's been a long year. Got it at launch.
Thought it was cool all last year. Still didn't play God of War. Still didn't play God of War. Here it's like, oh, it's been a year later. I should get to that.
And then I saw someone talking about Hellblade.
60% off.
And I was like, oh, I should play that too. It's like, dang. It's like everything.
But that got released on the Switch or something, so that's probably why.
But... yeah. So, yeah, I need to like... just buckle down, I guess, and play a bunch of stuff one of these weeks. Won't be able to do my five-course sampler.
A betting game at the end of Tropicals, which I'm playing, where it's like, okay, what are the odds? Or like, what are your bets on Tropical? What game is he going to play and how far will he get?
Those Twitter accounts that is like, is it Wednesday yet? And then each day it's like, no. No, and then once it gets to Wednesday, it's like, it is Wednesday. So basically, it'll be like, has Tropical played God of War yet? Nope. 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 And then when he finally does, it's like, yes, he has played God of War. Nope. 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 He put it back down. Nope.
Well, the interesting pull would be, like, the first time I mention a game on the podcast... and then, like, how many weeks it is before I mentioned that I finished it.
Or played it at all.
Or played it, yeah.
Or played it again.
Or played it at all.
Remember that time you played through Final Fantasy 9 Tropical and you're saving at every save point? Or, like, until every save point? Remember
now I gotta start over again.
Yeah. I mean, at this point.
Buckle down. That's what I gotta do. That's it. Simple. Strap to a chair in the dark with just the glow of my monitor.
Oh. Oh, dear.
Prepare all my food in the morning and then just like, so like cold food. And there'll be a spread next to my chair that I'm strapped to.
This doesn't seem humane.
If I finish a game under those circumstances, does that mean I always have to do that?
Oh, gosh.
Joe has to go into a sense deprivation chamber to finish games so he doesn't get distracted by other games.
I mean, I guess this is the darkest timeline, so
I'm just like,
you gotta do it.
Wipe all my PS4 hard drives and then be like, all right, the one game gets to be on here.
Oh dear. But you have so many PS4s now.
I know. So, you know, then I have a little variety, but it'll just be like one game per console, maybe? Yeah.
I mean, I guess.
Well, we will see. RPG, what have you been playing?
Sekiro.
Ninja something murder or something.
Ninja Murder Party, yes. Sekiro Ninja Murder Party. So basically, I've been running through there and, you know, having fun times and, you know, murdering a bunch of folk. But I think I finally made it to the final world now because everything shoots lightning here and it's pleasant. So, you know, it's a happy fun time. So, and I also have like all my upgrades now, so I have to be towards the end now. Otherwise, they've let me get far too powerful. Nothing will be able to stop me. And then, you know, maybe I'll be the final boss. But yeah, once I'm done with that, I'm not entirely sure what I'm going to do, because I guess I can go back to finish one of the games I haven't finished yet, but eh. Yeah. Yeah. I might want something new instead, but I don't know what's out. There's nothing out for me to get, so. Although I did want to get Deathmark at one point, but I never did.
I think it's on sale right now.
Is it?
At, I think part of the, I think I saw it at for 20 somewhere.
Then I'm going to have to hit up all of the internets after this to make sure. Because I did want that one. It's about people getting murdered. So, you know, it has to be good. It has to be good. But yeah, I've only been playing Sekiro, so there's that. There is that.
Alrighty. Well, we're skipping middle segment.
One thing before we leave the what you've been playing, that there is a part in Red Dead Redemption 2 where they kind of try and duplicate the best part of the first game, where they do that part when you're, I think it's either going to or leaving from Mexico, and like the music plays. Ooh. It's all awesome. There's a part like that in this one. It wasn't as good as it affected my opinion, because it like wasn't that sweet transition of like, you have arrived at country XYZ, or like you, I can't remember if like you're going to or from, but like, that's just so cool, because like you cross the border, the music's playing, and it's like, oh, I'm in Mexico. And just it was not like that. It was like, it was not the sweet transition of like country to country. It's like you'd already left, or like you've already gotten back, and then you're on your way to your safe house to like check on things, and then it plays, and it's like, oh. But it was, yeah, it was that cool. It was that, it did have that cool effect where like it just like plays as you're going there, and it's like, stuff's about to go down. It's like a Miami Vice moment. It's like, oh yeah. Cue the Phil Collins.
Wait, what?
I can't feel it.
Stop it. Stop it. I know what song you were. I kind of assumed what song you were talking about when you said it, but I didn't know they would have that in Red Dead Redemption.
I mean, I never saw Miami Vice like as a kid growing up. Like sometimes my mom would be watching it and I like see it, but I never like actually saw, like, I like in my brain, it's like not any like full episodes like are in my brain of like, oh, I remember that time. I just think that's a thing, because like on this documentary of like the 80s, that was like one of the things I talked about, was like Miami Vice did this thing where it's like they go to a place and they play the music. It's like, oh, the music of the time. Oh, it's so great. So yeah, I imagine that's what it's like in that show when they do stuff. So maybe it's not. Wow. That's what I imagine it'd be.
Just wow.
In Red Dead, it's like, oh yeah, because even Uncharted did it, and it's like, well, it there's a part in Uncharted that like is very reminiscent of that part. I was like, ah, they did the Red Dead thing. I was like, ah, but then I was kind of annoyed though, because I share buttoned it, and since my notifications are off, I did not know the scene was blocked, so I share buttoned it like after the end, and I was like, oh yeah, share button that, and then it was like, you have now. You have now resumed gameplay, because you're, or you have now blah blah blah, because the screen is no longer blocked or something. And I was like, what? I didn't get that. So now it's like, I have to replay the entire game again just for that part, because that was so awesome. And it's like, no, those are my favorite parts. Car says, whatever.
All right, so we're moving on to weekly rapid response. Blah, blah, blah. Rapid release responses for the next week of games coming out. Title, 10 word description, truncated from usually a store page, but sometimes not. That is our middle segment for this week, because I delayed the podcast a long time. All right.
You did.
I did. It was a long time.
It was. It was like almost 2 hours.
An hour, at least.
It was more than that, because we didn't start until like 9:30 something.
All right, so we're starting with today, April 16th, game that we didn't have last week, World of Warships Legends. Take the seas by storm and dive into intense online.
That was weird, because at first I was like, oh, this is about pirates, and they're like diving. I'm like, oh, this is about the ocean, so... But yeah, that's a very generic title. A and B, not enough info, so pass.
I've already played Assassin's Creed 3. This is my response to this.
Sorry, World of Warships. April 17th, tomorrow. Snooker 19. Snooker 19 invites you to make history and break records.
I'm so confused.
That is the name? Snooker 19?
Yeah.
Like Snooker 19?
Yeah. Like S-N-O-O something something E-R 19? The number?
S-N-O-O-K-E-R 19?
Oh my goodness.
So like,
who names their game Snooker 19?
I'm like so confused now because I'm like, what does this mean? Is it, what does it mean? But I don't. Maybe he's just saying it wrong.
Yeah, I was so caught off guard by the name. I didn't even remember, like, hear the description.
Something about breaking records and eating babies or something. I don't know. Either way, it's like.
Invites you to make history and break records.
And that sounds like a close. High score game. Pass.
High scores. Actually, I only saw two episodes of that anime, so I can't even get excited about that. I'm just kidding, everybody. Sorry.
This next one is called Trooper Brook is a thrilling mystery adventure game.
Tropical is just making up names now just to test us to see if we're going to call him out on it.
Real or not real title. Just kidding. It doesn't exist. I made it up.
Just like, none of these games are real. I made it all up. Elaborate RRR week. Because at this point, I don't believe any of these things are real. Calling BS on this.
Hold on. So we have to go back. Like, do you not know what snooker is?
No.
Isn't it a billiards game?
I've never heard of that in my life.
Neither have I.
You've never heard of it? Huh. Okay. It's a billiards game.
It's a pool game called Snookers.
It's a pool game.
The hell it is. Yeah. Explain the rules.
I don't know how it's played.
Exactly. Because you're lying. I'm calling BS on you right now.
I'm gonna ask my phone. I have to know now.
Hey Google. What is snooker?
Which originated among British Army officers stationed in India in the later half of the 19th century.
Shut up, Google.
So it's British? No wonder.
So it's never to say
that explains a lot now. That explains everything.
Fine.
You win this round, Tropical. And your names of games.
All right. This one was Trooper Brook.
I still think that one's made up.
A thrilling mystery adventure game set in rural.
I mean, you had me right up until you got to rural, and I was like, I don't want to get eaten by cannibals.
And it's like, is it a point-and-click adventure game? Is it text-based adventure game? Or is it Walking Dead adventure game? Because only one of those is the one worth playing, I'm just saying, so.
That's true. I mean, but we wouldn't know what kind of adventure game it is for that to work. But also, I call shenanigans on this name. So I don't know if I want to play it, because if it's rural, then it means it's probably going to be all you on a farm trying to like sift through clues through cow poop or something. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. This doesn't sound fun to me. Although I do like mystery adventure games, though, because like Hotel Dusk is fun. Then there's the whole Danganronpa series, but that's about kids getting murdered, so it's a little bit different. Actually, we need a Hotel Dusk sequel. I would play that. I'm going on a tangent. Continue.
All right. April 18th. Wow. They do seem all made up. April 18th, The Padre. Unravel the mystery of a missing cardinal by solving the...
Well, at least that name makes sense. But even Cardinal's like, I can't even believe this one. El Padre. It should be called El Padre, not The Padre, but whatever. If it's about like a cardinal, I mean,
I mean, maybe they forgot how to say the in Spanish. I mean, or maybe that's a significant thing, because like in the game itself, it'll be like, oh, that's why it's called the Padre kind of situation. I don't know, man. I just work here.
Can you say it again, Charter Cole? I forgot already.
Unravel the mystery of a missing cardinal by solving the...
Another mystery?
Missing. So that's gonna, not...
But then it's like a cardinal, probably in like the Roman Catholic Church, so it's all religious. It's like, pass. Investigating church thingy stuff, blah, blah, blah.
RPG.
I mean...
Also same as the last game where it's like, what type of adventure game is it? It's not Wolf Among Us, I know that. Yeah. Just saying.
I would be interested because, you know, mystery adventure, but again, we don't know the context in which this is actually happening. So maybe.
Next up is Our World Is Ended. Our World Is Ended follows Judgment 7, a team of young.
Oh, I think this is that Movlov type visual novel thing or something, if I'm not mistaken. Oh, or not. Wait, I might be thinking of the other one.
What is Judgment 7 anyway? That's like a weird description. It's going to follow the team of Judgment 7. Who is Judgment 7?
I think it's some kind of like cyber group or something. I saw the trailer for it, but it didn't really tell you anything. And it was in Japanese, so that didn't help.
Cyber group Japanese. This is already sounding not
like it gets weirder. It gets weirder, Tekken.
Are there tentacles?
Among other things. People are cross-dressing, and then there's other stuff happening. It's a weird trailer. I don't know. I'm kind of interested, though.
You have to stop yourself from getting excited from looking at when you might accidentally see panties because you get too powerful and you blow up the world.
Oh, right. And then you might blow up the world. Yeah, there's also that. I mean, in all fairness, Japan, I mean, they've done weirder things. Let's be honest. We've all seen some weird anime in our time.
That is true.
Only because of Netflix. .. I mean, there was one that was weird I liked, but you know, we're gonna get on a tangent, so I think you should go to the next game, Drop to Goal.
All right. The last one for maybe April 18th.
This one, though. I said maybe on that one though. Because right. I think I was semi interested. It was just a weird game though.
Tekken, are you? Yes? No?
No, I'm not. Okay. No.
God's Trigger. When an angel and a demon team up to kill.
Okay, yes.
That sounds kind of Devil May Cry-ish.
Also, that is like... the DMC like story, by the by. But it's fine. I'll let that slide. What's the genre for this one?
It says action.
Ooh. But it's not as good.
Well, it probably is not. But, I mean...
Most games
there's
aren't.
A trigger involved, so could be fun. I guess I would have to see what it looks like to know for sure if I'd be interested. But so maybe.
Tekken?
No, I sense in the force mediocrity from this game. So no.
Okay. April 19th, Konami's Anniversary Collection Arcade Classics. Play Konami's all-time classics on your favorite platforms in celebration.
Is this the one without Castlevania? Because without Castlevania, no thanks.
Also,
they know what they did to Kojima, so not getting it the first week it's out. I'm going to wait until it's like a $5 flash sale game. So
in the Konami. Konami.
You said Konami too many times in your Konami collection.
Oh no, so you got summoned. You summoned a Konami. What is a Konami anyway?
April 22nd, Jupiter and Mars. Dive into a neon seascape as a dolphin with enhanced.
I don't have enhanced powers. That one time, I think either at PSX or E3, so I'm interested in this game. And besides, what other game has like a dolphin and a whale like working together in VR? There you go.
Well, I mean, you're not entirely wrong, but still.
RPG, yes.
No, I don't do dolphin games.
Eco, no.
I was traumatized as a kid because of Eco.
Dolphins are my favorite, or one of my favorites.
That's how they get you. That's how they get you.
Finally, April 23rd. Mortal Kombat 11. Continue the epic saga through a new cinematic story that...
Oh, it's already coming out?
Yes, it is.
Oh, gosh. Oh, no. I don't know.
I'll be getting it whenever they drop it to $20 with all the DLC, like all the other NetherRealm games. So
like the complete collection, but day. With a K because combat. Get it? Get it, everybody? So, yeah.
I still need to play Injustice 2.
Wait, what?
I said I still have to play Injustice 2.
Oh.
Which I did that for. So I will try to... I'll probably do that after I finish what I did. If I finish that soon, hopefully. I just hope they don't mess it up with the time travel. Too much time travel, because seriously, they didn't need to do it. Again, just saying, like,
you can never have
it was fine doing it that one time to fix things, but then it's like, oh, well, let's just do it again and see what we can mess up. It's like, what? Whatever. Unless they, like, fix it all back to it. But then that'd be weird. It's like, you had this cool alternate thing going, and then you went back and, like, undid it. Like, what's up with that? Whatever. That's why you don't mess with time travel, dude, in your like, thing. Unless that's your thing, you're just like, this is... a thing about someone that or something that does stuff with time travel? And that's their thing. Yeah, unless like time travel is their thing, like Time Cop or Time Crisis or Time Splitters or whatever, time something something, they're doing, man. It's a slippery slope to just going back and be like, oh, we're gonna undo things because it's time travel. Oh, and then just, you know, you're in that cycle, you're in that weird cycle, time paradox, time loop.
You should never do that. It is dangerous. He's right.
I mean, just look at Terminator. It's like, you know, they can just keep on pooping them out because it's like, oh, well, I'm going to go back to here. Oh, I'm going to go back to there. Oh, I'm going to go forward. Oh, I'm going to go forward again. Oh, I'm going to even farther. Oh, even farther back. Oh, just, you know, yeah.
And you would think by now they would have stopped doing that. It's like, guys, you've been through this so many times and it has yet to work. I feel like you should just let it go. Let it die, man.
Yeah, it was really weird. Like, after I started Conan Chronicles, I was like really on it. But then like after it was over and I watched it, I was like thinking about it too much. And I was like, you know what? Why don't the machines just like go back to like XYZ and like do XYZ and like kill all the humans like right after it starts and like they'd win? Like, or just like go back with like biological weapons or something, like have some virus. Like, why don't they just do that? Skynet would be up. They would already be activated.
I mean, you think about it, although one has to wonder how the robots even keep losing though, because it's like they keep going back in time where our technology is way behind theirs, and then it's just like every single time they still lose, and it's like I don't,
how can you send the most advanced robotic life form that like is made out of like liquid that or like metal that's like liquid and can't be like shot through, and like, you know, it's a killing machine, and somehow it loses to like normal bullets,
to like a What's kid and that? His mom.
Yeah,
like I don't understand, like it's just some, not like,
crappy old robot thing.
It doesn't make any sense. And then which also begs the question, then, like, how did the robots even, you know, take over in the first place if this can stop them? It's like, well,
it's like, you know, it's like, why would you just send one back? Why don't you send like 1,000? You know?
Right?
You just, I like, mean, it's doing, what are you doing?
You have to be able to mass produce them by that point in the future. So I'm assuming it's like,
it's not costing you anything. You don't care about money. You're a robot.
It's true.
You've got the resources. It's true. You're already winning the war.
Like, none of it makes sense. None of it makes sense at all. Because it's like, how did they even win then? Because, I mean, I assume, like, oh, one robot tried to fight us, guys. Let's just murder him real quick with our shotguns. Because, I mean, can't stop us. So, yeah, none of that makes sense.
I mean, I don't think the AI would be that dumb in the future. Be like, oh, let's just send one back. It's like, overkill. Duh. Like, come on. Come on.
Yeah. Like, look at the Matrix. When they sent out those robot things, they just sent a bunch of spider robots to kill all of them. They were just like, no, just send one. It's fine. let's hope it all goes well. It's, you know, no way this can backfire on us, especially when there's prophecies about the one. I mean, it's fine, guys. Just send, it's cool. Cool, guys.
Maybe they'll elaborate in the upcoming Terminator movie that has like a weird spelling like they all do. Lately.
Oh, it does?
I don't know.
They're trying to be catchy or edgy or
but when whatever. They put Y in Genesis, I was like, that's a bit too much.
Was there a company in the actual movie with the Y in its name? Was it called Genesis by chance?
I don't know. I never saw it.
Oh. Because then maybe that would have explained it.
It has a Y in it, so...
Yeah, but that's not, I mean, you spell sky with a Y, so that makes sense. It's kind of how it goes.
Just spell it with an I.
Skeet it.
I'm doing everything right now. That would have changed a lot of stuff. They're like, the robots are hilarious. They can't spell. It's like, well, technically we made them, so wouldn't it make us stupid by proxy? It's like, well, shut up, Bill. Sorry, why are we talking about Terminator?
Because time travel came up.
Yes,
because the game was about time or something. Oh, Mortal Kombat, that's what it was. Time travel.
I was like, wait, what time travel?
That's their thing now.
We seriously got on a tangent on that one. It had nothing to do with anything.
Combat 9 was all like, hey, Raiden, send a message to yourself in the past to prevent the things in the future, but it's going to be a garbled message so you won't understand it until like halfway through the game and you've already messed up things. So have fun.
Raiden can time travel?
No. Can't.
Oh. Well then.
He sent a message to himself, but it was like, he didn't get the whole thing, so it took him a while to figure out what it meant.
So wait, but by then it was too late. Send the message to himself if he can't.
This is a magical amulet.
Yeah. It's like Days of Future Past the movie style.
What? No. What?
he sent it to his younger self mm-hmm. because they both have the amulet.
So because it exists at the two different points in time, they can use it to communicate but not effectively.
Which
how does that but then it's like it's magic though, right? So then why would the message not work? I mean,
it's not very magic.
I mean, clearly, so then why even bother? Well, there's a good chance this is going to backfire horribly because, you know, we're using broken magic to send a message through time and space, which determines the fate of the universe. But it's cool. It's cool, guys. Might as well have just sent a letter and hoped it worked. Because what the crap, man? What the crap? It's fine. We'll go to the next game before I go out on another tangent.
That's it. That's the last game coming out next week. So, yeah, some interesting ones. Maybe some stuff to check out. Which one was it? God's Trigger? A little bit. Adventure games that may or may not exist. So. All right, on to the news.
Tropical Islands made up pool games.
On to the news. This past weekend was Star Wars Celebration in Chicago, and we got our first look at EA's next Star Wars game, Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. There's a trailer, None of it is actual in-engine gameplay footage, although it is all rendered in-engine, and it was surprising to learn that it's not Frostbite. It's going to be on Unreal Engine 4.
Wait, from EA?
From EA.
This is awkward.
Yeah, they're also like, oh, it's single player only. There's going to be no multiplayer and no microtransactions, and we're not going to add those later.
From EA? This is getting weirder by the second.
It's funny because, like, Eurogamer did an interview with Amy Hennig. She had headed up, you know, the Star Wars game that we all wanted to see, and then it got canceled because, oh, single player is dead, we're going to services. And then for them to come out and say, oh, it's single player only, and having everyone cheer to that, she was just like,
y'all.
Her response was like, it's odd. But no, she's like, yeah, I guess the, you know, industry changes pretty rapidly. It's been 2 years. And in the interview, she talked a little bit about what her project Ragtag would have been like. And it sounds so cool because she talked about how with Uncharted, they sort of like deconstructed like what sort of pulp action was. And then, you know, thinking about Ragtag, it's like, well, it's going to be like that, but not Indiana Jones style, where Indiana Jones is like, you follow Indy the whole movie and you sort of only know what Indy knows. And that's kind of like how Uncharted was. But Star Wars is a pulp action in which, you know, there's like multiple different small teams doing stuff simultaneously. And then you also have parts where it cuts to the villains and you hear the villains talking. And so apparently the game would have had like multiple playable protagonists and, you know, like good AI companions. So you could have these sort of like the scene they kept going back to, I guess, was the Death Star escape from A New Hope, where like Luke and Han, they're by themselves and they're trying to rescue Leia, and then there's like Obi-Wan is doing this other thing, and then you also have scenes
Man, that makes me think of Fall of Cybertron, dude, like that yeah. Finale, just like all the stuff's happening, you're switching perspectives each section. Ah, yeah. Oh, it's perfect. Ah, dang it.
But you'll never get it.
The Star Wars thing could have been so cool. It sounds really cool, so that is very sad. But I guess there's this one coming out. It's supposed to follow, I guess, another Padawan who survived Order 66.
Man, that order was not very good then.
Because it's like a lot of them, but not as many.
Every time
many
you turn around, it's
think.
Like, oh, I also escaped. I escaped too.
But yeah, the trailer showed. I guess what happened is not only did the troopers turn against the Jedi, but like the galaxy turned against the Jedi. And what? So they're sort of like fugitives now and they can't really show themselves. And this guy is like, he's
working. Does this mean that you could become dark and kill people with lightning?
Probably not. Maybe. Well, I don't know.
I mean, I guess it's kind of shown like that in Rogue One, when there's like the temple and like the resistance people that are in it. Mm. And like the resistance fighters are the ones that are like believe in the force and stuff.
But yeah, this showed like, I guess the main character is working salvage or something. And there's a scene where he has to use the force to save someone. And then there's like Inquisitors chasing him. If you haven't seen, I think Inquisitors appeared in Star Wars Rebels, and they're just like lightsaber wielding, although I don't know if they are force able.
They probably aren't.
But yeah, it looks pretty cool. Although again, none of the trailer is gameplay, so who knows? They did show a wall running segment.
I was I was not excited when I saw that. I was like, I mean, this was after like Rise of Skywalker, so I was like already hyped for something else. But it's like in the same vein. So it's kind of weird. It's like I feel like it's Thunder because I saw that and I was like, eh. Because like I was watching it and like then like the first time I saw it was at work with like the sound off anyway. So I was like, oh, finally out trailer. Let me watch it. And just like looking, like waiting to get excited. And I'm just like, eh.
Because they didn't show any actual gameplay.
Yeah, I think like one of it was one part for me was that there was no gameplay. And so we really have like no idea what it's going to be like. Like the trailers for Force Unleashed were crazy awesome, but then the gameplay was, I mean, let's be honest, like not as awesome as those trailers were.
Didn't they also say something about like it was melee focused as far as the gameplay?
Maybe. I didn't read that anywhere, but I did not go hunting for everyone's impressions.
Yeah, I didn't watch the way too long
the panel
reveal.
Yeah,
that thing. I saw the time on that. I was like, what? Just for a trailer? I'm watching this.
The only one I watched was for the Disney parks. And I was like, oh my gosh, unpopular opinion. I love Star Wars now so much more since Disney bought it.
Definitely an unpopular opinion because I disagree with Tropical, but we're not going to go there. We're not going to go there.
I agree with Tropical because Disney.
It's like, whatever. I'm not even going to say anything. I'm just going to say that I watched
Disney's amazing.
The panel I watched was when they revealed the Rise of Skywalker trailer, and then I had a whole thing about it of like being really high to being really low after thinking about it way too much, which is what I usually do. But you know, I can't help myself. I just can't help myself. I think too much. It's a thing.
Like my favorite.
Okay, RPG. Well, if you're gonna poke the bear in the eye, well, have fun being part of some fandom that's been all dilapidated and decrepit after it's been run into the ground, and like you know, it is like what the MCU is now. And it's like, that's what it was, because they ruined it. So have fun with that, you know. I mean, they could still rebuild it, because they've got all these, you know, years to, like, you know, fix it after their, you know, mistakes. But if episode 9 is not up to par, like, me personally, I'm just done. I'm like, I'm out. You ruined it.
I mean, I don't want to be that guy, but the original trilogy is not that great. So, you know, just go ahead and,
That's your opinion. That's your opinion.
It's like my favorite Star Wars stuff is Rogue One.
Which is great.
Rebels.
I haven't seen it, but I'm sure it's great.
By the end, I thought Rebels was like almost better than Clone Wars.
What? I love Clone Wars.
Yeah, Clone Wars was so good.
And they bring it back, so I'm like, ooh.
Yeah.
They are bringing it back.
Which is weird, though, because it's like, how can they do that? But then I guess they never like transitioned end episode 2, so it's like they could just keep making stuff up. It's not exactly serialized where it's like, haha, it ends here where that starts, so we'll see what happens.
And then The Last Jedi, and like two yeah. of half of those things came out after Disney. So anyways, moving on to other stuff.
This is what you've done to Disney. Are you happy now? Are you happy?
Yes.
You're tearing this family apart.
You are all across the world.
I'm sure fans the theme fans. Park will be one of my favorite Star Wars things too.
I saw that they were doing like these restaurants for them, so I got excited. But I was like, oh crap, the one down here doesn't open until like August.
End of August.
So that's so late.
Go again.
I could have been consumed by the darkest timeline rather than
double vacation.
I mean, I probably could. I mean, August is like super slow for us, so you'd give me the time off.
It's not that far.
And it's like up the street. I can just go for a weekend or something. I'm trying. This is happening.
Oh man. I want to see it. Okay, no more. Moving on to the next retro mini console. That's not mini. It's giant. It's two arcade sticks stuck really together.
Yeah, I was about to say, it's not really a console, it's just arcade sticks.
It's two arcade sticks stuck together, and the whole thing looks like the Capcom logo, which is insane. Oh. Yeah, Capcom announced the Capcom Home Arcade. Sawa components. So those are like good arcade components. And it's a plug and play. So you plug it into a TV and then you got two player arcade layouts for 16 classic Capcom arcade games, ranging from Alien vs. Predator to Super Puzzle Fighter 2 Turbo. The one I'm excited for is Mega Man the Power Battle, which I played once in the arcade and thought was super cool.
Well, what if you don't feel that's the same way now?
I don't care. the only thing that makes me hesitate. So this is coming out October 25th. 16 games. But it is $200. They haven't revealed an American price yet. So far you can only buy it off of the Capcom Europe store. But based on their prices, it will be $260.
Yeah, I'm not paying.
Jeez. That's like an actual home console price at this point.
But it's really cool.
This smells like a money grab. I'm just gonna say that.
Well, it's Capcom, so obviously it is. But
they're on the escalator up. They're going up on the escalator. Why would they do this?
Because now that they're going up, they've gained your trust, and that's the best time to destroy it. Once you're already into it.
I don't know what the emulation quality is or whatever, but apparently it will be good, is what they've said. Who knows?
For that price, it better be arcade perfect.
Yeah. So, 1944, The Loop Master, Alien vs. Predator, Armored Warriors, Capcom Sports Club, Captain Commando, Cyberbots, Full Metal Madness, Darkstalkers, The Night Warriors, Eco Fighters, Final Fight, Ghouls and Ghosts, Giga Wing, Street Fighter 2 Hyper Fighting, Mega Man the Power Battles, Pro Gear, Strider, and Super Puzzle Fighter Turbo 2. Turbo.
You know, they could have just like not put Street Fighter in there and just like had a Street Fighter thing of its own with the arcade stick with like all the Street Fighter games, but whatever. So, yeah.
Apparently all of these games are based on Capcom's CPS-1 and CPS-2, like arcade boards or whatever. And I guess like Street Fighter 3 was on the next one. I don't know if that makes a difference in emulators or whatever, but yeah, apparently that's where this collection is coming from. So pretty pricey. I think it's really cool, actually. But yeah, pretty pricey. October 25th. So still some time. That's in addition to the Sega. I forget what it's called. The small one, the mini one, coming out for $80. Has 40 games.
Is that called the Sega Mini?
Is it called the Sega Mini?
Sure, I just call it the Sega Mini.
Or is like the Genesis.
I mean, if
Mini?
It's not, we're calling it the Sega Mini.
All right.
It's fine.
There was a surprise PlayStation 5 reveal this morning.
It's a surprise to you, anyway. I already expected it. It's saying this for the past like 1,000 years now.
You expected you're like, them no, to reveal
you're not
it this
tell
morning?
Us anything. They weren't going to tell us anything now. It's not going to release tomorrow.
Well, it is. Oh, shut your faces.
Well, so first of all, it's not coming in 2019.
Obviously.
Wired was the only outlet that got this information, apparently. So this is all coming from one Wired article. Mark Cerny sort of talked about specs. I don't remember all the CPU, GPU stuff, but suffice it to say, generational leap in computing capacity for those. For more layman stuff, it still has a disk drive.
How'd you say it so weird?
What? Which part?
When you said the layman's part. The way you like extended the word was weird.
All right. Still has a disk drive, and it will be backwards compatible with the PlayStation 4 games.
Yes, now I can throw away my PS4.
As well as the current version of PlayStation VR.
But I would transfer all my saves over. Gross.
Yeah, as far as Lost, so they gave examples of some of the things that they're talking about in terms of wanting to make sure that it's a generational leap. One of those, so the first thing they talked about was hard drives. Apparently it will contain a solid state drive that is better than any drive available on PC today. And they showed an example where, like, Marvel Spider-Man on PS4 loads, it's like a 15 second load from like starting the game and then being in the game. And then they booted it on like a PS, or they're not calling it a PS5, but that's what everyone is
calling it. Yeah, that was weird. They're like, we're calling it next gen machine still.
They booted it on a PS5 dev kit, and it took, I think it was, the figure was like point.
It was like less than a second.
It was very fast.
Or something, yeah.
Because I saw the comparison video thing.
And it was just like a 19 times speed advantage.
Too bad they didn't have that in Destiny.
Yeah, they just talked about, like, you know.
It's the truth. I spent so much time in orbit waiting for things. I'm just saying.
It's true. The load times are, like, ridiculous in Destiny.
Load times have gotten really long. And one of the things is, like, people now, for current gen games, like, you have to spend time designing things just to hide load times. Or the example they gave with Spider-Man was, you know, not just loading into the game, but the speed at which Spider-Man can travel through the city is partially determined by how quickly you can load the city in front of Spider-Man. Mm. And
that makes sense.
Yeah, their demo on this PS5 dev kit thing, like, showed basically moving at jet-like speeds, apparently, through the city.
What?
So it's just like far, far faster streaming.
Man, when Final Fantasy 16 comes out 8 years from now, it's going to be amazing on this thing.
Second thing they talked about was ray tracing, which is,
oh yeah, that's right.
Basically, it's like mathematically calculating
light,
or mathematically simulating how real light works. To make, for example, better reflections, better shadows. So right now we sort of fake it, or like the cheapest way to do it is to, you know, make your scene and then just bake the shadows in, so the shadows don't actually move with the sun. And since that would look weird, you just make sure in your game the sun never moves, and so the shadows are literally, it's as if you like painted shadows on your wall where they should be. Ray tracing would allow, essentially, you could do real dynamic shadows, lighting, basically, kind of. Yeah. But it goes beyond that, because rays are just like vectors in 3D space, and you can use them to compute lots of different things. And the thing they talked about was, like, you could use rays to, for example, determine if enemy AI can hear you from where you are. So your foot like hits the ground and it makes a sound, and then you just like draw a bunch of rays out from the foot and see if they hit any enemy ears nearby.
That can be a power mechanic or something.
And then the third thing they talked about was 3D positional audio, which is sort of available now on PlayStation if you have the Platinum headset. But apparently
what is that, it's like surround sound are simulated or something? Or how's that, what is that?
Yeah, so 3D, like, so surround sound is basically on one plane. So you can hear things in front of you, you know, to the front left, even, you know, if you imagine like an infinite circle of infinite speakers around you, just on one plane, like that's surround sound,
unpleasant.
Right? So every direction you can hear the sound come from that direction, but not above and below. So 3D audio is like, instead of this
all around
circle,
you.
Yeah, it's like,
yeah, after my experience with Mr. X Resident Evil 2, I'm not sure how I feel about this, but
I was just about to say this would be great for a survival horror game, but I guess Tekken already doesn't want to do that, so there you go.
I've been stalked and it was not a fun time. Well, I'm traumatized for life. Thanks.
Now you can have it so that you don't even know where it's coming from. So enjoy.
Be awesome. Yeah, they're talking about this is gonna work with just regular speakers. Although the gold standard will be in headphones. So to me, that suggests that the speaker on the controller is going away. If the gold standard is going to be headphones, then there's no point to put that speaker there.
Yeah.
Although, with backwards compatibility, maybe it does have to stay.
Yeah, because some games do. Unless, I guess, they just, like, or somehow patch it so that it doesn't do that, I guess.
I mean, well, I just did that thing, right? And the only game that only outputs through the speaker that I could find was Metal Gear Solid 5. Every other game that comes through the controller also comes through the TV speakers.
Well, Devil May Cry had that thing with the switching stuff that you couldn't actually remap it, which annoyed me, but it's fine. It's fine.
Yeah, I guess
it's over now.
DMC5 wasn't out yet, and Resident Evil 2 was just out, but I didn't have it.
That's interesting, I guess. But if it works with regular speakers, how does... So does the console, like, just make the speakers work like that? Because
it's like a math thing, apparently, because like sound bounces off of stuff. So if you output the sound in a certain way, then I guess your ears don't hear it the first time it goes past you.
That's not how
I'm not sure how it works. But yeah, apparently you can achieve these effects. Like, there's lots of like 7.1 sound bars. I was like, well, how is that possible? The sound bar is just the thing in front of you. How does it get the rear speakers? And yeah, it's just like software magic, I guess.
Interesting.
And you know, even the 3D audio inside of the Platinum headsets, like that's also software magic, because it's not like there's a ton of little speakers inside of the headset. As far as you know, I'm pretty sure that one is like that. There are ones that do have lots of little speakers in them.
Interesting.
So yeah, this is like our first glimpse into PS5.
Oh man, after I saw the ray tracing thing, I was like, day one. Not day one, but like, I'm already hyped after that. Like, after that and the SSD thing and like the super fast loads, I was like, dude, yeah. Well, I mean, I'm already on Team PlayStation anyway, but it's like, whatever. It's just like, it just reaffirmed my faith in the church. I mean, just made me, you know, yeah, more confident in my in the team I'm currently on, I guess. Whatever.
No, I mean, just making a console more powerful doesn't really sell me on it. So I mean, obviously, as a next generation console, it has to be stronger. So it's not like That's not something we weren't already expecting anyway.
And it has backwards compatibility, so it's like, I already have my games because they're all on the PSN store, or I just download them. Don't even have to worry about putting the discs in the drawer. Yay!
I want to know if it has some kind of, like, something else under the hood that's going to make it, like, worth the purchase kind of thing. Otherwise...
What could it be, RPG? What
are you I don't know. I have to wait until the full official reveal. And then once we get, like, all of the specs and all of the things that are going to be going on, then it's like, oh, okay, it's going to be able to do this as well or something. So we'll have to see. There's still too much we don't know to get too excited about it.
I think it's really neat, actually, because, like you were saying, of course, the next generation consoles are going to be more powerful. But, like, looking at PS4 and PS5, or what we know of it, it feels like there is still like leeway to make them interesting, even though, you know, like more power is a given now. And then, for example, with PS4, like, share button is not necessarily something that you would think the next PlayStation would have had. And yet it did. And it was, you know, it's pretty game changing, I think, for a lot of people. So it PS5, like, focusing this on, you know, this faster hard drive, like, that's not something necessarily you would think that they would go for. You'd think, oh, you know, they just get a decent enough hard drive and then be done with it and just, you know, focus all that money on more specs. But yeah, when they describe it in this way, it's like, huh, yeah, load times have been getting pretty long. And you just think, like, yeah, if they didn't have to spend effort on hiding load times. Yeah, I was like, what could they be doing with that time? So that's pretty cool.
I guess we'll find out more next year. But I mean, because they're not doing PSX this year, right? Or was that last year that they weren't doing it or something?
Yeah, like, we don't.
The year's mixed up now.
The only thing we know right now is that they're not doing E3 this year.
Which may have been intentional, so they can have their own events to reveal their console. Maybe.
Wait, what's the thingy that they had? The PlayStation, whatever, with the VR thingy, and everybody was like, eh.
Oh, State of Play.
Yeah, the State of Play now, so that's what we have now.
Maybe.
So, I mean, maybe they'll still do PSX, but maybe they won't. I guess we'll see, but at least we have State of Play. Which is kind of surprising that they were like, oh, here's some info. It's like, I guess they didn't show it, but that's kind of the whole thing that we talked about last time. I was like, oh, well, Xbox was like, oh, well, we showed our console in there. It's like, doesn't really matter. It's just going to be a box that plays games.
Because, you know.
It's like they didn't put this in the State of Play.
If I wanted a cable box, I'll just get cable.
This is kind of important, but, you know.
There were complaints about this reveal also. Like, apparently people are saying, like, oh, it sounds boring. PS5 sounds boring.
Whatever.
And, like, IGN wrote an opinion article like, oh, PS5 is boring because PS4 was so successful. And it's like, yeah, so you look at the specs and, like, oh, it's just a better PS4, right?
You can still play those games on PS5, though, so it's like, I don't understand that argument.
Well, I think that's what they're saying. Like, it's nothing that you weren't already expecting kind of thing. It's like, yes, you, like I said, it's like you already expected to be more powerful. I mean, it's a next generation console, but at the same time, it's like, because of everything that PS4 has done, it's kind of like, well, I mean, yeah, more power is great, but at the same time, it didn't show off any new features, like Tropical was saying with the whole share button thing and stuff like that. It's like, none of that was revealed yet. So it's
raw power.
It's like, we already know it's going to be powerful. I mean, it has to be. Otherwise, it's like, what's the point of even bothering with making it?
Maybe that's why they put this out first, then. So they can wow you with the intangibles.
Yeah, so until we get, like, an official, like, full on reveal because again, they're going to call this thing the PlayStation 5 at this point. So,
so you enjoyed the HD rumble of the Joy-Cons? Well, enjoy the whatever of the next DualShocks or whatever.
Did they have HD rumble?
It will shake your soul.
Well, it's a good thing I got rid of that years ago. But it should be so. Yeah, once we get like an official reveal, I think it'll be
the oscillating vibrating of the DualShocks. Yeah, there you go, oscillation.
It'll be funny if they end up adapting like the vitality sensor or something. And then after Nintendo abandoned,
that would be great if it was like it could tell the temperature of your hands on the controller and like do stuff with it. I would be all for that.
Shock you.
Are you warm up yet, Tekken? We can tell. It's like, I am, but thanks for asking, because I'm warm-blooded, so why are you talking to me, controller? Well, that'd be another weird thing if it's like some sort of like Alexa garbage where it's like
talking to you, we talk to it.
Yeah.
That would
be interesting. How much ammo do I have? You have double bullets, Tekken. That's the golden standard art, Choptical. Maybe one day we'll get there.
Actually, it'll be funny if that's actually like one of their launch titles after all of this.
Identify. The technology has finally caught up with the concept video for the PS3.
Because sometimes you see these concept videos for these tech demos of things, and then it's like, I feel like sometimes the developers or the companies get a little ambitious, and they're like, I would love it if we can do it, but then they actually work with the tech and they're like, well, we can't actually do what we thought we wanted to do. So I guess we're shelving this for now. And then like once something finally comes along strong enough for it, they're like, look what we can do now. And then it's like, oh, this is what you were trying to do this whole time. So.
Yeah, I just think it's really neat. People thought after PS3 and Xbox 360, I think there was this sense that the consoles were just going to become more and more like each other. Like the Xbox One and PS4 would be basically the same thing, just with different exclusive games. But then they weren't. Like, not really. Yeah. You know, one was really focused on other services being this sort of all-in-one entertainment thing, and then
we can play games at launch at 900p.
Yeah, it was just like the one that I always go back to is like, why would you split screen a TV show and a game? Like, you would only do that for games that you don't really want to play, right?
unless
shows that you don't really want to pay attention to
watch. Because yeah. I mean, the only time that would be like of any use to you is if the show and the game were interactive in some way, where it's like they kind of like played off of each other, which would still be kind of like difficult to deal with, because it's like your attention would be kind of all over the place. But then
PlayStation like share button is always the one that's like, that's kind of brilliant. And it's not just putting
remember how
another
excited Tekken got.
Yeah.
He almost died.
It's not just like putting another button on the controller. It was like there's other chips in the system that allow that to happen. And I was like, huh, that's really cool.
Because even things like SharePlay, which I mean, I don't think people use nearly enough, but that also was a pretty cool feature to be able to do now, because it's like, I can play with my friends even if they don't necessarily have this game or something. And it's like, now they can enjoy it too.
Just like interesting functions that don't appear on both systems. And it's like, that's pretty neat. And then with this, you know, I don't know if Microsoft is also thinking, oh man, load times, that's something we should tackle. Or 3D sound is something we want to tackle. Actually, they have done that. Xbox One, I think, supports Dolby Atmos, which is a 3D sound like standard of some sort. But yeah, like these things that I wouldn't necessarily like. I just thought, it's gonna be somehow way more powerful and stuff is going to look ridiculous. Like, I can't imagine what next generation games look like. Like, how do you go beyond PS4 Horizon or any of that stuff? It's like, I have no idea. I don't know.
It's going to look like those CG.
That's a good point, Travis. I remember last year when it's like God of War in Detroit came out and it's like, this is the best game I've ever seen. This is the best game I've ever seen in Spider-Man. It's like, this game is also amazing. It's like, they're just like still hitting the high bar or high marks of like, oh, thought you saw something that's like super amazing. Well, check this out. And then, oh man, Tsushima. Oh man, E3. I remember my live reaction. Just like, I'm still ready for Tsushima. Just still waiting. Just looks like it. Just and then like,
might, yeah, last time that fight PS4 scene just five. I mean,
so good. Because like, it's like you thought that was good, and then like something even better. It's like, yeah, prepare to be blown away because it's going to happen.
Difficult to imagine.
I mean, even Resident Evil 2 is amazing. Just DMC5. Yeah.
But yeah, like
it's great. Too bad we're in the darkest timeline. I could enjoy it more, but you know, we have 12 more years max because you know climate change. But you know, things can change.
We'll see. I mean, we had a good run,
but we want more.
I mean,
yeah, just do some of the stuff. Just sounds like it will enable different stuff in games because graphics, I guess, are now just a given. And I think that that's really interesting. So,
because I mean, you're not going to make games look worse. So,
see, I think it's an interesting contrast that might happen because you have that, whatever that game or that Chinese game that Tropical is like singing in that tongue, that one episode, and then it's like that game.
You mean in Chinese?
Yeah, and then like that game, it doesn't really look like a PS4 game, but it looks like, you know, if like Tropical is always saying like, you know, you could just have a game that looks like a PS2, but like have a lot of game for that game of like you just like pour a lot of stuff in the bucket, but the you know the visual quality of the stuff in the bucket, so it's like, you know.
Content over.
There could be stuff like that.
Yeah, no, it's like Days Gone, right? Days Gone looks how it looks, and they can have 500 freakers on the screen. It's like, that's pretty cool. But if you did it at like PS2 quality graphics, could you have like 500,000 freakers on the screen?
Oh yeah, it's kind of like Earth Defense Force. It's like that game.
I feel like that would not be.
It's funny. Just about like ridiculous destruction. It doesn't look the best, but it has like ridiculous destruction going on.
Like we've always pushed graphics, like more and more and more. What if we had pushed a different way? You know, what if we were still doing like 2D sprite games? Could you have 500 million freakers on screen?
I mean, there are retro styles that exist, so, you know. But they don't push graphics. They have that feel to them. It's more about the feel than it is the look.
Retro is more about the feel. But still, like, what if you were just going for retro for the sake of saving power so that you could do, like, ridiculous numbers of AI?
Or make more responsive AI or something.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I just got an idea. I'm not going to say it, though, so, yeah.
Yeah, don't do that, because you know people like to listen and steal content.
We know you're out there.
All right, so shortly after the PS5 reveal, Microsoft came out and announced that their E3 press conference is going to be Sunday, June 9th, 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Central, whatever that is, Pacific. They didn't say what it's going to be, but it's widely expected that they'll unveil their new consoles. And then today they confirmed that the Xbox One S All Digital Edition is real. It's coming out May 7th for the price of $250.
I do have to say that was a very poor naming on their part, because when people are like abbreviating it, it's like,
I saw that on Twitter and I laughed. Like,
this is very
the Xbox One edition.
That was not a very smart naming convention you went with there, but it's fine.
It feels like it costs a lot, but it does come with Minecraft Forza Horizon 3 and Sea of Thieves.
Yeah, when I saw that, I was like, I will probably wait because I'd rather get like different games that are bundled that I would rather have than those three. So, because when I get, or if I get one, I would not be getting live again, so I wouldn't be able to enjoy the multiplayer stuff.
I thought it would be cheaper. Like $250, isn't that? It's sort of like the price of consoles, I guess, these days. That, I mean, not the premium ones, but like the regular ones. It feels like $250 should be the price of a regular console, and then having it have less stuff.
The reduced system should be like, should be less, like $150 or $175 or something.
Because the rumor was sub $200. And I guess that turned out not to be the case.
Well, it's Microsoft. You should have known that wasn't going to be the case. So.
Maybe that's why it's inflated, because it comes with games.
Maybe, yeah. Because there's possibly they'll release like a base version that's like a lot cheaper. But they wanted to probably make it seem like it's or value kind of thing. Because you get, what, 3 games with it?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's probably like a value thing to make it kind of seem like, oh, this is it's a good, right out the box, you can already play stuff. So I don't have to like sit there for hours downloading everything because it's all digital instead of disc. It's cool. I'm not complaining. But there's that.
They gave you games to play while you download other stuff.
Yeah, see, that's what I don't. This is why I don't like the idea of like an all digital console kind of thing, because it's like now I have to like all this time I could be playing stuff. I have to wait because now I have to like download everything. I mean, mind you, a lot of games have day one installs now anyway, but still, now it's like you have to download the game, then download and install on top of that, and then it's just like it's too much. It's too much. So.
Gamescom is going to have an opening night live show hosted by Jeff Keighley. That is going to be Monday, August 19th at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Central. In the past, there hasn't really been like a live show for Gamescom, and so now that there is one and Keighley's involved, that probably means like exclusive announcements or whatnot. So maybe that makes that show a bit more interesting for us who are not European. Something.
Yeah, because I usually don't follow Gamescom.
Yeah. And finally, Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3. Switch exclusive that was revealed at the Game Awards, I think, has a release date. It's going to be July 19th this year. This
summer. Meanwhile, Square Enix's Marvel game, Avenger game, is not yet to be shown. Thanks.
Yeah.
I mean, there could be some red tape involved in that one. Because, I mean, with all the stuff going on with Disney and their acquisitions, probably
maybe it can delay only things happen a bit after Endgame.
Oh yeah, also, I didn't think about
also that.
But then,
because like the first footage we saw, or not footage, but the teaser was like the broken shield, right?
Yeah.
So maybe it's a post. Oh no, it's a post
Captain America world.
No, that's not a world I want to live in.
Yeah, that's the news that I saw. Anything I missed?
Nothing I can think of, no.
No.
Cool. In that case, I guess we are finished, maybe? So, yeah.
Snooker.
It's real. Yeah.
For now.
Thanks for listening. Download the podcast at aimlesspodcast.com and follow us on YouTube, the social medias like Twitter, and Twitch is a thing we have as well.
It is.
So yeah, like Tragical said, check us out on the internet and stuff. Anything to say before we sign off RPG?
Cats and helicopters. Cats and helicopters.
Anything to say before we sign off Tropical?
Nope.
Alright, so you know. Until you see her from Skin, ASVLZ. Alright, now, sign off. Go check out the Snickers.